My talk this morning, entitled Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord. It's taken, if you want to turn your Bibles, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'll be more or less going through this section by section. Now the troubles that come to people on this earth vary greatly. Some are very poor. We've traveled to countries where people are so poor that this country would be like paradise. Not exaggerating. I was talking to a lady this morning and she said, I wonder what paradise was like, you know? And I said, well, to some people on earth, this Britain is paradise. And poverty is so great that they almost kill themselves, spend all their money trying to get away from that place to here. Others are persecuted, greatly persecuted. Or others have ill health, so bad that our ill health is nothing. It's only when you go to hospital, you think you're sick till you see somebody else. And wherever you go in any hospital, you see some patients so bad, you think, wow, they are really suffering. Others are homeless, walk down the streets of any great city in the world, and you'll see people living in cardboard boxes. I've seen people taking up their homes in these great big sewage pipes at the side of the road. The whole family living in there in the sewage pipe. Others have troubles of in home, you know, battered wives and battered children. Very, very great troubles. I'm not going to talk about individual problems. I'm just going to say whatever the problem people have, this chapter has some very good answers to human problems. The chapter starts with the messengers coming to King Jehoshaphat of Judah and telling him that there's an enormous army gathering against him. In fact, several nations are ganging up. Chapter 20, verse 1, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some and that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. So this message of this mighty host, several nations, when they reached Jerusalem, caused panic. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared, verse 3. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In other words, he was absolutely terrified of the problem. He realized that the armies of Judah were no match for these three great nations coming up against him. So he sent word to all Judah to collect, to come to Jerusalem, and to pray. And Judah gathered themselves together, verse 4, to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So this took several days. And news went to everyone, there's a mighty host coming up against us. Now we want everyone to come to Jerusalem, because we're going to seek the Lord and ask his help. And when this great congregation came to Jerusalem, verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. So this place was packed with probably a million people. And then he prayed. And he said, I want you to carefully note his prayer. Verse 6, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Fact number one. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? That's a fact. Unavoidable, unchangeable facts. You are God in heaven and you rule every nation on earth. Isn't that a fact? He's telling God. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Another fact. You are the God of the universe, you rule all nations, and nobody could stand against you. Art not thou our God? Verse 7. He's not just an all-powerful monarch over all the earth, whom no one dare fight, but art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? So he starts his prayer with several indisputable facts, which nobody in the audience, nobody, no angel being, and even God couldn't say, no, that's not right. That's how he starts his prayer. You are God. You're all powerful. You rule the earth. You're our God. Now you should bear these facts in mind, because these spiritual conditions and these spiritual realities lead on to the next part of Jehoshaphat's statement. Verse 8, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary herein for thy name's sake. He goes on to say, he reminds God of Solomon's prayer. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, and pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. So he stands in the house of God, in the city of Jerusalem, after having reminded God that he knows of certain facts. He said, now Solomon, who built this temple, where I'm standing, in this city, prayed to you that if sword or famine or pestilence come up and we cry to you from here, you would hear. And you answered, saying, yes. Because he sent fire down from heaven in the sight of all Israel when the temple was dedicated. He then goes on to say in verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? That's the enemies that are coming up against them, because we spared them on our way to Jerusalem. That's what he's saying. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon thee. Now hear us. This is a mighty force. We have no idea what to do. We have no strength, even if we did have an idea. So listen to us, because our eyes are on thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And Jehoshaphat is talking directly to God. And everybody was standing there. They couldn't see him, of course. Then from the middle of this audience, down there in the courtyard somewhere, a man spoke up, right? This is the first time you hear about him in the Bible, and probably the last. Verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, all of a sudden the Spirit of God just descended on this man. Where he was standing, I don't know. But he was in the middle of the big crowd. All of a sudden, he opened his mouth, and this is what he said. Hearken ye, all Judah, verse 15, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Now here it is. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Everybody had been frightened, terrified. What are we going to do? We don't, our army is insignificant compared to this crowd. We are surrounded by enemies, like Israel today. Surrounded. On her right, looking north. Now that the king is dying, might even be dead right now, clinically dead anyway. There's Jordan, half the population, Palestinians, hate Israel. Even the other ones are not too keen, because when Israel said, we'll try and help you, they said, we don't want your help. Further down, there's Iraq. Up north, there's Syria. Slightly northwest is Lebanon. Down south is Saudi Arabia. On the east, west is Egypt. Little Israel right in the middle. And then this man says, don't be frightened, don't be scared, because the battle is not yours. He goes on to say in verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord upon with you. This is the strangest battle in the whole Bible. When Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, they had to fight their way all the way around. Every piece of territory they had to fight for. But this battle is totally different. This battle, they were outnumbered. Probably 100 to 1. This battle, they were standing there in the city of Jerusalem, families, wives, children, little children, babes in arms. They would have been slaughtered. This is not your battle. This is my battle. And God is actually fighting a battle with Satan and his hosts. And the people of God are, as young lady pointed out just now, we are actually small in numbers. We, militarily wise, we are very weak. But it's not our battle. It's God's battle with Satan and his host. And we are surrounded by unbelieving hosts. Surrounded. And they could wipe us out in no time at all. Now Jehoshaphat, when he heard this, and all Israel heard it, the whole Judah, he took a very stunning and astonishing stand. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipped the Lord. And the Levites, and the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Jehoshaphat fell right down. The Levites stood up and started praising God. Jehoshaphat then stood up, and this is what he said. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here's what he said. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. One prophet in there who had said something. Believe him. What did he say? He had said, this is not your battle. Don't be afraid. This is not your battle. Stand still and look and see the salvation of God for you. And Jehoshaphat said, believe him. Believe him. Verse 21, then he consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. So they assembled the little army they had, pathetic compared to the big army coming towards them. And in front of the army went these singers and musicians. As I said before, this is the strangest battle in all history. You never read about another battle like this. Because this battle is a shadow, is a symbol, is a mini, should I say, model of the great battle that's being fought at the moment between God and Satan. And we are like this little Judean crowd. The singers got ready. And the singers said, went before, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing, verse 22, and to praise the Lord said, ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now when they began to sing and went out, and the army was following, not that they were going to fight, because God had said, just stand. You're going to be spectators. You're going to stand and see this battle. It's not your battle anyway. You're just going to stand and look at it. And they went out singing and praising the Lord and playing on their instruments. And all of a sudden, an incredible situation broke. The enemy, who were three massive countries with a lot of others probably, all of a sudden began to fight amongst themselves. It says here, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, as the Edomites. I don't know whether they looked at them and thought, aye, that's the Judean army. There's Judea. They've come around this way from the back. It turned on them, thinking that they were the enemy. But they weren't the enemy. The enemy was standing out there singing. They wiped out the crowd from Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, in the confusion, when Moab and Ammon went and attacked the Edomites, wiped them out, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden they couldn't even recognize their own soldiers. They didn't know who was an Ammonite and who was a Moabite. They somehow thought that they were fighting the people of Judah, and they fought themselves to a standstill and wiped each other out. All this time, the crowd of Judah was singing and praising the Lord. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, verse 24. And behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands of soldiers died. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So this whole episode took several days. And they first heard the news, call everybody, pray, march out, watch this battle. And then when they all slaughtered everybody, took him 3 days just to strip the dead of all the wealth. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah, which means the Valley of Blessing. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries, harps, and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. So there he was, a young man, and this all happened when he was reasonably young. What can we learn from this? What can we learn living in this 21st, end of the 20th century? We as a group, as a church, are dwindling in numbers. On Wednesday, I went to the hospital and I talked to Mr. Keechee, who was at the band. And he said, oh, the church is in a terrible state. Salvation Army, by the way. You know, I didn't want to press him for details because I knew what was happening. Churches are breaking up left, right and center right around the world. This morning as I was waiting on a bus, a young girl was passing, Barbara's friend at school, and she said her relatives were in the Jehovah's Witness. She says, and they've all left. I said, yeah, that's happening everywhere. The church is actually getting smaller all over the world. And some Christians tend to say, well, what's going to happen? Are we going to be wiped out? But no way. Because you see, this battle is not ours. We're not fighting a physical battle with bullets and guns. We're not fighting people in the streets. We're not fighting the communists or the socialists or the nationalists or the Indians or Germans. We're not fighting. We're fighting a spiritual battle against Satan and his host. And there is no way we could win against him. And he is focusing on the people of God. And our strength, if we are to learn anything from this lesson, is this. This battle, which is God's, the prophet said, and he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, fear not. Do not be scared. The church is not going to be wiped out. Ever. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Now, you don't attack an enemy with gates, you know. Gates are a defensive thing. In other words, the whole population of hell could never break those gates, even if they had attacked us. The gates of hell will not prevail against us if we attack them, and the enemies of hell could not break the church down because we are so protected. The first thing, fear not. The second thing to remember is that this battle is not ours. We never generated this truth. We don't have to say, well, that's our truth. Oh no, we belong to it rather than that belonging to us. The truth of God can stand up on its own two feet and nothing can destroy it. You can't do anything against the truth. It's like pedaling backwards on a bicycle. The only thing you can do is go forward. You can't go backwards on a free wheel. And you can do something for the truth and spread it, but you cannot destroy it. It's impossible. So that's what we can learn. Very briefly, I will round this all up. Yes, we're time is running out. Right? Our spiritual preparations are, one, prayer and fasting. When they got the bad news that they were going to be attacked by this mighty host, they didn't say, let's polish up all our swords and let's get ourselves ready and make the battlements right. This was totally different. This battle, which Jehoshaphat witnessed, is really a little model of the spiritual battle that we are going to witness and see the enemies of God, not just human beings, but angelic hosts overthrown. We are going to be the spectators. The angel beings are going to be the spectators, because the battle is between God and Satan. And God's methods are so amazing that when Jehoshaphat said to them, believe on the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. Believe his prophets. That's one single prophet here. Never even wrote a book. He just said, you just stand still. Don't be scared. Just stand still and see this battle is not yours. You're going to stand still and see the salvation of God for you. And we've got to believe that. But what did we do? Jehoshaphat prepared to celebrate. When he called all the singers and the players of the instruments and the harps and the trumpets and said, now, right, we're not only going to witness this victory, we are going to celebrate it. And we're going to strip the enemy. They came up against us thinking they're going to conquer Judah, take over Jerusalem, set up, take all our houses and bring all their furniture and all their wealth and that's it, slaughter us all and take over the whole city. That's why they came with all that gold and that silver and precious metals and so on. Because they thought, well, we just wipe these Jews away. And Jehoshaphat said, we're going to celebrate. So they went out singing and playing. All of a sudden this miracle happened where the enemies of God wiped each other out. And that's what's going to happen. The Bible tells us that Babylon is going to tear itself to bits. The beast is going to rip the harlot, burn her flesh, eat her flesh. The capital city of this of evil in the universe, which is Babylon the Great, Jerusalem, the golden God's capital, mother of us all, Babylon is going to have civil war. And we can learn. Loneliness, or whether it's ill health, whatever our problems are, one, we should pray, gather the folks to pray, and fast if possible, if you can manage that too. Pray. God will certainly answer. Why? Because he's in charge, he's all powerful, he rules in the earth, not did rule or will rule, but rules. That's what Jehoshaphat said. You are ruling at the moment, right? So he reminded God of certain facts that God couldn't dispute. Nobody could dispute. And then he called for help, and God sent help. The result was Jehoshaphat had peace, joy, and rest. And of course we would have the same things. Peace, joy, and rest. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can win every battle I've got here. We can overcome every problem. How do I know? Because Yahweh is with us. And the battle, fierce though it may become, is not ours. It's not our truth. It's not our gospel. It's not our work. It's not our fight. We happen to be involved. We are the target. But it's God's battle, and Satan's fighting him. And if we remember that fact when we hit various problems, I tell you, God's message to Jehoshaphat is a message to us. Don't be scared. This is not your fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord for you in whatever field you happen to be. Amen.